The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with the University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today, starting with the birthday boy himself. It's Dan Maggio.
Hi, Matt. Hi, everybody.
What's Happy going Friday. On, Dan?
Not much. Just survived another week.
And how are things with all the Legos and such?
I mean, our season's about over, but we had a return to in-person events more this season.
Right.
And our high school program is enjoying in-person events, and I'll be going to championship in Houston.
Wow.
Not entirely sure. I'm looking forward to that, but I'll be heading down and it should be good.
That's awesome.
They should have good food though, because Top Chef is in Houston this season. So yeah, it's one of the good food cities. So I hear.
Yeah, but it's you know, that venue catered food.
Oh, well, yeah.
You can slip out every once in a while and get some barbecue or something.
I will bring some fruit and granola bars.
Continuing around the horn, Professor Beth Oljar is here with us today. We thought that we lost you there for a sec, Beth, so I'm glad you came back.
I just had to hit the litter box. Sorry.
Roger that. That could be construed so many different ways.
You clumped well.
I mean, there is litter boxes in your home, so, you know.
There are many, in fact, yes. Yep. You're supposed to have one more litter box than you do cats.
Really?
So I'm supposed to have four, but we don't.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wait, no, yes, we do.
You forgot one, don't you?
Well, Drew cleans them.
Nice.
Not my task.
So. You brokered a good deal when you came up with that arrangement.
He does the laundry and the dishes. And
yeah.
Pretty nice. Professor Mara Livesey is also here with us today. I'm wondering, where did the litter box plus one, does that math come from?
You know, I don't actually know, but, you know, cats are so particular that, like, they have one litter box for the pee and one litter box for the poop and one just for fun.
One just for fun. I'm like trying to think, just like scratching around, throwing the little.
They do sometimes. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So funny. I've never heard this before because I've never really been around cats in my life. So that's
little weirdos.
We can have some little weirdos.
They like to throw that litter around. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dave Chow is also here with us today. Zero litter boxes at his home, if I remember correctly.
Yes. Zero litter boxes. No more pets.
Yeah. But you got lots of plants.
Let's not talk about that one. We're, you know, Marcy's getting the garden going in a couple of weeks too. So,
ooh, it's going to be exciting.
We're going to have more dirt than grass this year, I think. Mm-hmm. Well, we're also having an addition put on the back of the house too. So,
oh, neat.
Construction time.
It's great. We all love it.
So much for sleeping in.
Not a problem. We'll be able to handle it. And of course, we are joined last but not least by Jim Tubbs.
Hello, hello. How are you?
Hello, hello. So what's going on in your world, Jim, now that you've conquered the Pacific, specifically by, wait, you said the flight back from Hawaii. So we went to LA. That was the overnight one?
The overnight flight was, into LA and arrived there at like 4:30 in the morning and then had a 7:30 or something flight here.
Good 6 hours from the West Coast to Hawaii. So,
Sure. So anyway, what's next for you after conquering Hawaii?
Well, actually, in June, all of my siblings and their spouses and I are going on a Seine River cruise, a Viking cruise.
Whoa.
From Paris up to Giverny and Arles and up to Le Havre and then over to the Normandy cemeteries. And then we'll work our way back down to Paris. So it starts and ends in Paris.
Oh, wow.
But then after that, my younger brother and I are going to fly to Prague for 3 days and then Vienna for 3 days before coming home. Yeah.
You're giving Rick Steves a run for his money here, man.
I'm using Rick Steves' DVDs, you know, to figure out some things to do in these places.
That's so cool. Very, very cool stuff. Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways, emailing us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. When last we had the Super Friends together, we were finishing up a set of questions from Kimberly Richards, some interesting counting numbers, and there's just a couple questions left, and they're pretty fun, so let's give it a whirl. How many windows, professors, are in the Empire State Building?
Oh,
it'd be better to have none, but...
How many floors?
How many floors are there? 100 and something? No.
You know, it doesn't say the number of floors here, but it gives this as the clue. That there are 73 elevators in the Empire State Building.
I've been up that thing a dozen times.
100,000 windows.
I was going to say 10,000.
Okay.
So it's more in the 10,000 range than it is in the 100,000 range.
22,000.
That sounds like a good number. I like it.
It's still a little high. It's 6,514 windows. It's a lot of windows.
Oh.
I overshot.
It's a lot of windows.
It's job security.
Yeah. I love these comparisons because, of course, we're in a world where everybody is pretty obsessed with inflation. The skyscraper cost basically $41 million to generate the first time around, which if we scaled up to 2022 dollars, would be $572 million, over $500 million to be able to generate the same thing. So,
And how do you wash all those windows?
Don't even get me started.
I'm glad I don't have the job.
Yeah, me too.
It's security.
So the longest possible period of time that a solar eclipse can last will happen again, I know you've got your calendar circled, on the 16th of July, 2186. Till then, how long is that?
Huh?
How long is the longest possible solar eclipse? The next one will be July 16th, 2186.
Jeff would know this.
How long does the eclipse last?
Or how long between the next?
No, it's actually how long the eclipse itself lasts.
3.5 minutes.
Like 10 minutes?
No, I don't think it's that many. I think it's about 4 or 5.
Yeah. It says here the longest possible duration is 7 minutes and 32 seconds. And I think it has something to do with the old adage about it takes sunlight 8 minutes
to get here
to go 93 million miles. Okay. So something like that.
Okay. All right. I'll buy that.
The other way around, of course, with the lunar eclipse, that can last approximately 11 minutes long for whatever cosmological reason.
Well, it's a lot smaller.
Yeah.
So when it's in a shadow, it can stay in there longer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did anyone see the eclipse a couple years ago?
Yeah, I remember that. It was in August, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was. I had to drive a couple hours south in Illinois. It was awesome.
Oh, that is. That's cool.
I had a couple friends do that, too. They followed it around the country.
Cool.
It's interesting.
Just a couple more here. Pretty interesting. I believe we all know the song, quote unquote, the tune Taps. How many notes are actually sounded in Taps if it's played from start to finish?
Like 6.
10.
I think 5.
Isn't it just one? That's kind of like droned out?
No.
There's at least 3.
There's at least 3. That's a good start.
All right. Shows how musically gifted I am.
You know, it says that there are 24 notes, and you can kind of picture it in your head.
Not different notes. There are 24 notes.
Not different notes, like actual individual tones.
Oh.
I thought you meant how many different notes there were.
Well, that wasn't clearly specified.
Wasn't answering that question.
Yeah, that's okay. Interesting fact, what we always get from Kimberly. Taps's alternate title is the Butterfield Lullaby. The Butterfield Lullaby. Last but most certainly not least, thanks again for sending these in, Kimberly. Tobacco seeds are notoriously small. How many tobacco seeds can be found in an ounce of mass?
I'm sorry, my brain just went to tobacco. That's all. So sorry, Matt.
I can give you this to help you. We're talking about an ounce here. This is about 10,000 seeds per teaspoonful. So if you can do the ounces to teaspoonful, you'll get there pretty fast.
30,000. I don't know how many ounces are teaspoon.
Well, a teaspoonful is 5 milliliters.
3 teaspoons in a tablespoon, 4 tablespoons in a quarter cup. That's 12, four quarter cups in
and
a cup.
And Mercury's in retrograde.
Oh, that's 48 teaspoons in a cup.
Quarter cup is 4 ounces. A cup is 8 ounces.
Oh, so it's 2 tablespoons.
10,000 per teaspoonful.
So 60,000.
So it says here it's 500,000 seeds.
Well, that's wrong.
Per ounce.
Per ounce of weight, not volume.
Yeah, so ounces is confusing.
Yeah, it's math.
Because I was doing fluid ounces.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
So I think we're right if we put the seeds in water.
Yeah, you get them good and wet. Yeah.
If we turn them into liquid.
I will answer your email in the order it was received, Dan, the same way I do my own students. It's okay. I'll waive those points.
Wow.
Okay. We've got another set of questions here. So that's always fun. These questions were sent in by someone who sent us questions before, Ben Foudy. He always signs off on his email currently in Norfolk, Virginia. So that's a good place to find him.
To be currently, yes.
Yeah. Here's a set of questions that followed an odd train of thought I had. Let's start with, how many states make up the country of Brazil?
Oh, 26.
It is 26 on the dot. Ooh, how many of those states are fully north of Earth's equator?
9.
13? I'll split it in half.
4.
No, you know what? It's 0. None of them are fully north of the equator.
Oh,
okay.
Sneaky.
Yep. How many of those 26 states lie on the equator, touch the equator?
4.
4.
It's 4. Oh. Dan got it right off the top. It's pretty incredible. That's wild. Absolutely wild. How many independent countries comprise South America?
11.
Actually, it says it's 12, but you know,
yeah.
So
oh, close. Wow.
Yeah.
I had 7 just sort of listing them on my fingers.
And
so,
that's what
yeah.
I saw you doing there, Beth. Let's start with this list. Argentina, and of course, we're going semi alphabetical here. Argentina, Chile, Brazil, mm-hmm. Bolivia, Uruguay, Paraguay, Peru, Ecuador, Colombia, Venezuela. Which two am I missing?
Guyana.
Guyana, yes. And starts with the letter S.
It's not the Solomon Islands or something, no.
Santiago, no.
Saint? No.
Saint something is a pretty darn good guess, I gotta say. It's pretty good.
Okay, what are the South American freak states? Come on, help me out here.
You know, professors, it's Suriname. Suriname is what it is, yes.
Suriname.
Okay. Is in South America?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Why did I think it was?
Southeast Asia.
Yeah, actually, that's what I thought.
It sounds like.
Probably because, it sounds like Siam. That's why.
Possibly.
Which was the old name for Vietnam or Thailand. I kept one of the two.
No. It was Ceylon? No, Siam is Burma. Burma. Yeah. The shave thing.
Speaking of going off in odd directions, it's not even that odd. We're just talking about countries here, you know? What are the two remaining non-completely self-governing territories, essentially colonies, left in South America? Could you name one of them?
The Falkland Islands.
The Falklands, absolutely. The other one is French Guiana. French Guiana.
Mm-hmm.
And what are the Falklands called by Argentinians? They have a different name for them.
They do, don't they?
Like the Maldives or something?
I'm sure they do, yeah.
What was it called? Or was it start with an A?
No, it starts with an M.
I thought it was Maldives or Mal.
It's Mal something, but it's not Maldives. They're in the Indian Ocean.
Yeah, not Mall of America. It's
not Molokai, which is an island in Hawaii. Okay. Speaking of Jim's trip,
that's the one with the lepers, right?
If I'm yeah, it was
Molokai.
Malvinas.
Yeah.
Sure.
You're listening to Ask the Professor. From University of Detroit Mercy, we're grateful to those listeners who submitted questions for today's show, and we welcome your questions at atp@udmercy.edu. Now, let's return to our host, Matt Mayo, with more questions for the panel.
We're finishing up a set of questions from Ben Foudy in Norfolk, Virginia. Professors, if you wanted to go as far as everything that appears on the tectonic plate that we call the South American plate, you'd get one more full country and one more colony. Can you name either?
What, like Easter Island or something like that, way out there?
I mean, you're getting closer, but technically, I think a lot of the stuff over there is on the Pacific plate. It's not on the South American plate.
Oh, like the Galapagos?
Nope.
No.
The country is, easy giveaway, TNT.
Oh, Trinidad and Tobago. Okay.
How about the colony? It belongs to the Netherlands, as far as we know.
Antilles?
You got it. It's the Antilles. Aruba, Bonaire, and Curaçao make up the Netherlands Antilles. Yes.
The Dutch East Indies.
Yep, that's right.
Okay.
Absolutely. What colonizer relocated their entire government to the South American colony while occupied by a foreign military back home? I love this.
Huh?
Boy. Sounds like something Germans would do.
It does, but there's a very limited number of countries that really got their hands in South America, if you think about it.
Portuguese.
Yeah, it's Portugal. It's Portugal. Okay. Napoleon invaded, so they picked up the capital and moved to Brazil. Oh, I love it. That's a great piece of trivia. I love that. Professors, Canada is on the verge of qualifying for the World Cup soccer finals in Qatar. The last time they made the finals was in 1986. What other countries made their last World Cup of Finals appearances in the year 1986? There are four. Could you grab any one?
I didn't even know about Canada.
Mm-hmm. In the World Cup competition or in the finals?
So I think that they do refer to the tournament as the finals, right? You have to make the tournament to be able to be a part of what would turn into the finals. So
quick, Beth, get Drew in here.
I bet Drew would know.
He would know.
Unlikely soccer countries.
Actually, I think there's a way you can do this using the Dan Maggio method. Dan?
You have a method?
Is a country that would have made it in 1986 to the big grid. And quite simply doesn't exist anymore. So the last time they made it was 1986.
The Soviet Union.
Yeah, USSR.
USSR, yeah.
I was going to say, or Czechoslovakia or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other ones we have here are Iraq, Hungary, and technically it's a country. Please go watch CGP Gray's videos on how the UK works. Northern Ireland, technically a country, but technically not a country. It's very complicated.
It is now. They're two separate.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
Oh.
But the way that they look at the UK is different even back in 86 than they do now. So
in 86, I see.
Mostly because of the European Union.
But there's Southern Ireland, and Northern Ireland is its own country, right?
That's right.
Oh, 1921. Okay. But it's a dependent.
It's a dependent.
It's governed by the British Parliament.
Yep.
Its own council.
Yeah.
How many countries have won the FIFA World Cup, but only once? And I think this is good because I'm not that big of a soccer fan. I follow the World Cup when it's out there. I hear about these teams when I talk to my students all the time. But technically, they've only won it once in the history of FIFA.
But that would be most countries. It's not very many countries that repeat.
How long has it been around?
It says that there's only two countries who've only won the World Cup once.
Really?
England
is one of them. Yes.
1966.
And Spain.
And Spain is the other. You hear about Spain all the time.
That's ridiculous. Yeah.
Isn't that wild? All right. Let's see. Which country has been runner up for FIFA the most? Four times.
Argentina.
It's not what it says here.
Runner up. Germany.
It says Germany at four. Germany has been runner up.
Always the bridesmaid. Have they ever won? Does that imply that they never actually won?
Actually, it says here that that's a follow-up from how many countries have won the World Cup four or more times. Brazil is five. Germany and Italy are four.
Oh, so Germany is up.
Yeah. They're pretty much a powerhouse if they've been runner-up four times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the real deal. Oh, and thank you so much for these, Ben. You really are all over the map. Let's go from there to two people have been elected president of the United States. From the Whig Party, what do they have in common?
Other than being Whigs?
George Washington, was he a Whig?
No, Millard Fillmore was a Whig. And he was the last Whig.
We didn't have parties when Washington was elected president.
No, who was it?
Were they from the same state?
No, they had something else happen.
They died
in office. Yeah, they died. It's Harrison and Taylor is what I have here. And by the way, it says they weren't reelected. I'm like, well, duh.
Well.
Oh, I think that's pretty funny. Little side note to Mary, the thoughts that Jim and Beth had a minute ago. You know, we did technically have two presidents who were Whigs who were not elected. They must have inherited their position. And I believe that if you were on the Whig ticket and your boss died and you became president, then yeah.
That counts.
Yeah. This is pretty awesome. I got to say, I'm super hyped about this question. Who is Brigadier Sir Niels Olav III?
Oh, I mean, just like a winning Kentucky Derby horse or something like that.
Oh, man, this is too cool for school.
Fantastic name.
It's an awesome name.
Eric the Red.
Is it a cat?
It is not, but man, Dan, you are on the right track. It is an animal.
Is it like a someone's pet turtle?
A top breeder
or hamster or something.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Like Ferris Bueller's cat or something like that. I mean,
this is so great.
It's a parrot.
You're the closest so far, Beth.
The bird.
It is a bird, but what kind of bird is it?
It's a macaw.
It's a chicken. It's a rooster.
Bald eagle.
It's a love bird.
I cannot. I don't even know what to say. Brigadier Sir Niels Olav III is a king penguin from the Edinburgh Zoo who is an honorary colonel in chief of the Norwegian King's Guard. And as long as he lives, he will get a chance to walk down the troops and inspect them. Feel free to watch it on YouTube. I guarantee it will be the funniest thing you see today.
Wow. Hold on. What's the name of that?
Brigadier Sir Niels Olav III.
Wow.
Or as they call him in Happy Feet, the Great Gwyn.
Oh my gosh, there's pictures.
I don't know if it's going to work, but he sent a picture. I've got my stupid background thing
on.
We
can't see it. Oh,
yeah, I'm going to see if I can turn it off because it's just too funny. Too funny to not show.
He fits right in. His coloring, his suit.
Mm. Yeah.
Why can I not figure this out quickly? Can you see that?
There it is. Perfect. Yes.
There he is.
I love it.
Inspecting the troops.
I love the armband, too. That looks so regal.
What a cutie.
Oh, my gosh. That is so great. That is the coolest thing I've ever heard in my life. And, that is it from Ben. He's like, best regards. I'm like, yeah, you kind of went all over the place. I love it.
Think about it, Matt. Joe Mendy didn't even get that kind of respect, you know? I mean,
I knew a Joe Mendy reference could not have been far behind. Oh, my God. Oh,
Joe Mendy.
All right. Professors, you know what time it is. The imponderables of the Burroughs family haunt us forever. And this is kind of a cool one. I don't think we've ever done it before, but I've screwed that up as well. Oh. What's your favorite unsolved mystery? Whether it's something personal for you, your family, the United States, the region, the world. What's your favorite unsolved mystery?
I got one that haunts me my entire life. So I mean,
uh-oh.
It's Sasquatch.
Oh, please.
Seriously?
There is no Sasquatch.
I want to know. What's going on in Area 51?
That would be cool.
What's the government doing?
Yeah.
The Black Dahlia.
Yep. That's a good one. I feel like there's a list of things we could list and then pop into our caskets on our way out the door so we can make sure to ask the Almighty. But I'm always scared, Beth, that like if I ask about like what's the deal with Jack the Ripper? Oh, it was the dude that you guys knew it was and there's nothing special about it. Like, that's what science does.
For local color, it'd be nice to know what happened to Jimmy Hoffa.
Yes, there's
a good one. That's a good one. All right.
There's a good one. Wow. Absolutely.
Or D.B. Sweeney. Yeah.
D.B. Sweeney. Yep.
Yeah.
D.B. Cooper.
That's it. So I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well, D.B. Cooper was Loki, Beth. You know that. I mean, it's already been proven.
And we're pretty sure who Jack... Well, never mind.
Yeah.
I think we know who Jack the Ripper was. But.
Right, right.
Beth, I'm serious. I want to know definitive proof if Bigfoot's real.
He's not.
You can't.
He's just not.
Okay,
Dan, what are you thinking here?
I don't have anything really.
Don't you want to know like 11 herbs and spices of the Colonel's chicken or something? I mean,
that would be good. And now I'm craving Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, geez. Isn't that the way we always end these shows?
Oh, geez. It's always on food.
Dan, you look like you're being pensive, though. Maybe there's something in there.
I'm trying to think about what mystery have I always wanted to find the answer for, but I don't have one.
Loch Ness Monster?
No.
Probably not real.
We're going to get letters from Scotland now.
I think the balance of probability is against Sasquatch. I mean, I'm not absolutely certain, but it seems to be incredibly unlikely.
Yeah, but they also said that about the mountain gorilla a century ago, too.
Yeah, but science has advanced quite a ways since, you know, a century ago.
So what about like construction of the Great Pyramid at Giza? Like there's,
Slaves.
Dan, I got one for you. Would you like, is there such thing as the last digit of pi?
All right, Easter Island. Tell me about Easter Island.
Easter Island's a good one. That's Stonehenge. A good one. Absolutely.
Stonehenge, yeah.
Yep.
Ooh, what Stonehenge. Happened to Amelia Earhart?
Or her luggage.
We all know what happened. It's just, we just don't know where.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. Obviously, she's not still alive.
Well,
that would be unlikely.
Okay. Or better yet, why do cats need more litter boxes than, you know?
Why do cats need screen time?
Mars cats do.
Because we're cats, you know. We're always our own explanation for anything that we do is just that we're cats.
That's exactly right.
Okay, I got one. Why did Jim Tubbs hop on that flight back from Hawaii?
Well,
never be solved.
It's because I'd already paid for the ticket.
Oh, that's not an excuse.
Oh yeah, it is. Come on,
So what's yours, Matt?
Well, I think Great Pyramids is a good one. Yeah. I mean, there's certain things that you just can't be. It's like, it's so tantalizing to think that there's an answer. But after studying science for almost 25 years, I already know that at least half of the things we could list here, whether we're actually watching an episode of Unsolved Mysteries or thinking about Unsolved Mysteries, is it's going to be like, oh, that was Bob Smith. You know, it's like, you know.
It'll be total anticlimactic, right? Is that?
Yeah, anticlimactic. Yeah. I mean, we love to build drama into these things. And I will be honest, I grew up on Unsolved Mysteries. They started rebooting that on Netflix. I was not missing a single episode. They were absolutely stellar. Something about a documentary without a narrator. You're just putting it together yourself. And I'm like, this is better than half of the movies I've seen. This is awesome, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Professors, it's a sort of a downer way to end our episode, but I'm afraid our time has come to say goodbye, Jim.
Hi.
Dave.
See ya.
Mara.
Bye.
Beth.
Pursue the dumb explanation.
And Dan.
Goodbye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.